Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hi, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our program, Praying for America. We welcome you, Christians and patriots from around the country and some friends also from around the world. We want to pray with God's word tonight. We want to lift up our country. I want to also read to you some comments. You can all see the comments on whatever platform you are on. But every once in a while, I want to take some of those comments and reply to them and comment on them and thank you for them and answer any questions that there might be. You can always ask questions in these platforms, and then we'll get back to them in various programs as we go along here. And then I want to talk to you also about a special anniversary that I'm observing today and some reflections on the ministry that I've been privileged to carry out. So let's go to First Letter of Peter in the New Testament, chapter 2, because there's a powerful passage here. Of course, all the passages in this word of God are powerful. But let's see what Peter says here. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, so that through it you may grow unto salvation. For you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame. Therefore, its value is for you who have faith. But for those without faith, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make people stumble, a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Well, friends, this passage from 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 10, is really showing us who we are. It's about our identity. We are the living temple of God, living stones built into Christ, the cornerstone, or to use another biblical analogy, living members of the body built into Christ, the head, or to use another biblical analogy, living branches on the true vine, who is Christ. All of these convey the same thing, that Christ and his people are one living organism, and he has married us. The two become one flesh, Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, his bride. This is all biblical imagery. This is all biblical teaching. And another dimension of this teaching, about which I want to pray with you here and reflect, is that Peter says, the word says, we are a royal priesthood. What does that mean? He mentions it here in verse 9. And then earlier in verse 5, again, he says, as you are built as living stones into this spiritual house, he says, you are built such to be a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So let's think of our biblical history here. In the Old Testament, God ordained that the priests offered sacrifice. That's part of the definition of a priest, right? One who offers sacrifice. So priests were appointed throughout the Old Testament to offer the sacrifices. And as you know, the sacrifices were of various kinds, the grain, the oil, the animals, especially slaughtering the animals, offering their blood. The high priest, as scripture tells us, would enter the Holy of Holies once a year and bring the blood there to ask God's forgiveness for the sins of the people. So the priest had this special role of offering sacrifice. But now, in the new covenant, we all become priests. And the sacrifices we offer God are not grain and wine and the blood of animals. They're spiritual sacrifices, Peter says, offered how? Through Jesus Christ. We are united with him. We are made one with him. And as he has offered his sacrifice, and we know what that was, as the letter to the Hebrews, the best book of the Bible to go to really understand the Christ the priest and the sacrifices he made, it was with his own blood. It was in his own body, not the blood of bulls and goats, his own blood, entering not a sanctuary made by hands, but the true tabernacle in heaven. That's why on Good Friday, as Matthew's gospel tells us, the veil of the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom. The Holy of Holies, in other words, where for so long only the high priest could enter and only once a year, was now thrown wide open for us, because we are all now made partakers in the priesthood of Christ. What does this mean? We are to offer spiritual sacrifices each day. The praise of God is a spiritual sacrifice. The intercession we offer, like we do here on this program, is a spiritual sacrifice. Doing everything, as Paul says in Scripture, doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing everything for the glory of God. These are all spiritual sacrifices. The discipline that we practice in order to avoid sin is a spiritual sacrifice. The service that we give to the poor, as Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to someone because he's one of my disciples, you're making a spiritual sacrifice. And then, of course, Paul says, by your virtue, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's a spiritual sacrifice too. Even though he's talking about the physical body, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, right? So in as much as we take care of those bodies, and in as much as we keep those bodies from vice, and in as much as we offer them to God in praise, it's a spiritual sacrifice. So we're all priests. You know, there's another sense in which we're priests. The priest is the priesthood of the baptized. And you read in Scripture how the mountains and the hills proclaim, you see this in the Psalms, the heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. The heavens proclaim the glory of God, but they don't do that in the same way that we do, right? There's not that there's consciousness. I mean, there is with the angels, but the consciousness, you know, mountains and hills and rivers and seas, Scripture says all creation proclaims his glory, but we're the ones who are aware of it. And so when we say, you heavens, bless the Lord, it's like we're giving consciousness to what all creation is saying in an unconscious way. And it's all reflecting the glory of the one God to whom, again, as we see the praises in the book of Revelation, all glory and honor and power and wisdom and dominion and might belong forever and ever. So we join our voices and our minds and our souls and our wills to this constant liturgy of praise going up from all creation and from all people and joined in by the angels in heaven. So we all share in, as again, as Peter says, a royal priesthood. And then, of course, and there's differences between the Christian denominations about the role of the pastors and so forth, but we have priests in various denominations. And today happens to be the anniversary of my own ordination to ministry, to ordination to priesthood. And that was 33 years ago, 1988, where I began to officially, in my own community, the Catholic community, proclaim the Word of God and exercise the ministry that I exercise today. And I want to point out that, and of course, you know, we are here together. This is an interdenominational forum here. We welcome on this network and both here at Priests for Life and also on RSBN, Christians of all the full spectrum of the body of Christ. And I know we have some of us different terminologies, and that's fine. You know, if you want to call me Pastor Frank or Reverend Frank, you know, that's just as good as Father Frank. You know, we all respect one another's approaches here to these various questions, but there is so much that we are all exactly on the same page about. And that's what I want to reflect with you on, some of the, you know, lessons that I've learned in the in these 33 years of ministry. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And as I said, read some of your comments too. But let's turn to the Lord, having heard this beautiful scripture, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice made by our high priest, Jesus Christ, whom, as the letter to the Hebrews tells us, who is exercising an eternal priesthood, an eternal sacrifice. He remains forever. And so he who once said in the garden, Father, let this cup pass me by, but your will, not mine, be done. As he said on the cross, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. As he said also on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So today, that attitude in the soul of Christ is the same. Father, he is, as Scripture tells us, still interceding for us, pleading for us, being our advocate, being our intercessor, saying to the Father, forgive them. Saying to the Father, Father, I give myself to you. This priesthood of Jesus, this sacrifice of Jesus, made once for all, does not pass away. We thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you that we are part now of this great eternal sacrifice, giving all honor, all glory, all praise for all time and in all places and in all circumstances to you, the only true God, to Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and the human family. We praise you, Lord, for this. We thank you, and we recommit ourselves to offering those spiritual sacrifices in our lives each day in the name of the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, one of the ways we offer the spiritual sacrifices to God is precisely through our love for America and our patriotism and our involvement in the election process and our involvement in advocating for the values of this country. This is a clear spiritual sacrifice we need to offer. And all that we went through, and we went through it together during the stress of last year's elections. Now, of course, we've had great victories in this year's elections, and we'll have even more next time. But it requires sacrifice, doesn't it? And it requires the hard work that we all do together. One of the things that we keep in mind about all this is something that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, and his niece Alvita, of course, has been part of our ministry since, we met in 1999, and she joined our Priest for Life team full-time in 2005. And we've often reflected on how Martin said, when it was the night before he was assassinated, he said to the clergy, he says, we need a relevant ministry. And what he meant was, you know, it's a temptation sometimes for the clergy to take refuge in preaching about the world to come and not dealing with the problems of this world. Of course, now some fall into the opposite trap. And it's like they're talking, it's like they become social justice workers and they're not even, you know, thinking about the heavenly kingdom or talking about it, or you would wonder if they even believe in it. That's one problem. But Martin Luther King was in the midst of that civil rights movement and we can say this in the midst of our activism for making America great, is that we can't over-spiritualize things in such a way that well, to quote Dr. King, he said, we can't just talk about the new Jerusalem. We got to talk about the new New York and the new Los Angeles and the new Memphis, Tennessee. The newness of God's kingdom transforms our lives on earth. He said, we can talk about the land flowing with milk and honey. We can talk about what we're going to have in the life to come. But we got to make sure that people have three meals a day and clothing for themselves here on earth. We can say the same thing about the ministry of pro-life, which is my full-time work. And we can talk about God's love for life, and we can talk about life eternal. But what about the babies that are being deprived of life every day by the thousands just here in America and much more throughout the world? Are we saving them? Are we concerned about them? Are we doing something to stop the bloodshed? Practical, relevant ministry. And let's apply it to what is really a passion and a priority for all of us who gather for this program. Relevancy of the ministry when it comes to politics. Now, I've never had a problem in all my 33 years of proclaiming the gospel, but applying the word to the political situation of our times. Because you look at scripture, the prophets did it. Jesus did it. John the Baptist, that's why he got his head chopped off. He said to the king, it is not right for you to have your brother's wife. Did he not challenge authority? We've got to be relevant. We've got to be speaking a word, proclaiming a message that actually can change the circumstances of our time right here and now. And that's why we've got to be proclaiming to the voters, how you vote affects the growth of the kingdom of God and affects your own salvation. Because unless the kingdom of God and human salvation has nothing to do with human action, then it affects it. The actions by which we either come closer to God or go farther away from him are actions covering the whole of our lives, including the politics. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we are not afraid to make those applications. You know, the other thing I've discovered with ministry is that so many clergy have the temptation of taking the sacred for granted. When we're ministering to God's people, we're doing a sacred action there. When we're ministering the word of God, proclaiming it, it is Christ proclaiming the gospel. And we can get up and say, oh, well, you know, it's just another prayer service, or it's just another sermon, or it's just another liturgy. No. Every single time we do it, it's new. Every single time we do it, it's filled with wonder and awe. It should make us drop to our knees, raise up our hands, drop our jaws in awesome wonder of the mystery of being able to cooperate with God. Paul says we are collaborators of Christ in the work of saving the world. It's awesome. And it's something that should, with all of us, whenever we all, any of us, have the opportunity to teach and preach the word of God. Maybe it's parents doing so for their children. It is an awesome privilege. We must never lose our sense of the sacred. We must never lose that sense of wonder and awe. We must never let it become just another ordinary activity, because it is anything but ordinary. And you know, our founding fathers recognized this as they established the nation. They saw the work they were doing, writing the Declaration of Independence and voting on it, signing it, and ratifying the Constitution. They saw this as a sacred work. They saw the hand of God. They invoked the hand of God on this project of self-governance. President Trump acknowledges the hand of God on the great task of making America great again. Of preserving the values, as he said, we believe in God, not government. Family and faith and freedom, as he said, are the American way, not bureaucracy. government regulation, oppression, restrictions, tyranny, in other words. That's not the American way. This country was founded on rebelling against tyranny. It's a sacred work, in other words. Praying for America, obviously, is a sacred work. Voting is a sacred work. Working together with our elected officials to advance godly policies is a sacred work. And it ties in very closely to the ministry. I want to read a few comments that you have sent in over recent programs, and I thank you. And please use the comments generously during these programs, because I'll go back to them and choose some of them for comment. And I really appreciate hearing everything that you have to say. Josefina Rodriguez says, I am no longer a Catholic, but this priest is speaking truth and has the boldness that I have not seen even in most evangelical pastors. God bless you for speaking God's truth. Well, Josefina, that is indeed an encouraging comment. And, you know, I'm inspired by so many of the pastors I work with across denominational lines in the evangelical world. I have so many friends and the leading evangelicals that whose names you would all know are people that I'm privileged to connect with in the work, in the course of doing this national work in the pro-life movement. So thank you for that comment. And yeah, let's pray for the boldness of our clergy. We need to pray and work for that every day. And that's a big part of the ministry that I do, training the clergy to preach the word of God clearly, to apply it to politics, apply it to problems like abortion and all the other problems of our day. One of the viewers said, really touching the way President Trump introduces this program. Imagine what it was like starting out in this beautiful country, brand new with all its possibilities. Yeah, that is a beautiful quote at the beginning of each of these programs, isn't it? And we hear President Trump's voice and recalling the great shoulders on which we stand. That's very much something that we want to remind ourselves of on each of these programs. Jeff has to say, didn't realize that this was such a religious site. My mistake. See ya, because I don't see where praying is enough to make a difference. Well, Jeff, we pray that your faith may increase. Jesus asked that our faith might increase. And as far as being a religious station, I don't speak for RSBN, but let me tell you, this is a religious nation. This is a station that brings us to the heart of America, whether it's showing President Trump's rallies or other significant political events and or programs like this. You know, we're not trying to be a church here, but we're believers. And the point is, this is a religious nation. This is a nation founded on the understanding of God's providence in the world and, in fact, on the morality that comes through the Judeo-Christian teaching. And our founders wrote and spoke openly about that, as we often relate on these programs. So, you know, it's part of the genius of America, and part of our attitude, of course, is that we welcome everyone from any and every background. Even if you don't have very much faith, you're nevertheless welcome. If we're all working together for the greatness of America, my goodness, we work with atheists and everybody else. But let's understand that if we're being prayerful, if we're being religious, it's because we're American. We're tapping into something that's very, very essential to the fabric of this country. And furthermore, as far as prayer changing things, give it a good try. You'll see it has changed things for tens of millions of Americans, hundreds of millions of us in this country. Over the years, you know, prayer has been right at the foundation of our lives. Kimberly is saying, thank you. I'm not Catholic, but I appreciate hearing the prayers and God's word and the truth about our country and our world. See, Kimberly is expressing there a very, very common and widespread position relevant to what we were just saying. Philippe says this, victory is within our grasp with Jesus who is to come soon. Oh, I'm mad, as he double toothpicks. He says, I'm not going to take it anymore. That was from the show I was talking about, the power of anger, right? I'm going to rise up out of my chair and I'm going to head down to the local abortion clinic tomorrow morning and protest with my brothers and sisters and try to shake the indifference out of their indifferentism. Well, thank you, Philippe, for saying that. We all have to do something, and let's get active in our local communities. And that's an encouraging message. Janet says, I've finally listened to your podcast. I'm so excited. Thanks for your loving messages. I'm a lone sheep and you give me hope. God bless you. God bless America. Victory is with us. I love the encouragement and I need it. Yes, bringing hope is such a key task. For, again, I was speaking on about ministry since this is the anniversary of my own ordination to ministry. Hope, bringing hope is a key task of any preacher of the gospel. It's a task that President Trump has taken to heart. He has restored hope to America in so many ways and is still doing so. And I know that that's a mission all of you share as well. One of our viewers is praying for, asking for prayers for his son and daughter to know the Lord better in their lives. We do pray for that. Susie mentioned from the lesson I gave just yesterday. She says, I'm 74, and it's so awesome to hear the setup of our government as it was taught to me when I was in school. Well, thank you for saying that, Susie. It is an inheritance that we all have, right? Going back nearly 250 years now, and we've got to preserve it just as strongly today as when it was first given to us. So let's pray. Father, we pray for America. We pray for President Trump. Lord, he continues to speak. He continues to work. He continues to mobilize people. He continues to get behind great people, men and women who are running for public office on the platform of America First. He continues to point out those principles on which our country was founded. He continues to sacrifice. He continues to endure the criticism of so many, but nevertheless keeps his focus clear. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for him. We pray for all his associates, his family, all those who worked in the administration and on his campaigns, and who are continuing, each in their own way, this crucial mission for the greatness of America. Lord, we pray for those who are in public office now, some of them deeply, Lord God, deeply in need of repentance, enlightenment, correction. Lord, we know the problems that we are facing now. We want to invoke in this prayer your spirit upon those public officials that need correction, because we know that, Lord God, your spirit is not just a spirit of comfort and consolation. It's a spirit of rebuke where rebuke is needed. It is a spirit of waking us up where waking up is needed. So, Lord, we pray the spirit of enlightenment. We pray the spirit of rebuke where it's necessary to come into the minds, the hearts, the lives, the work of our public officials. Get them, Lord, onto the right track. We pray tonight. We pray for the voters. We thank you, Lord, for the voters who came forward in such strength in this 2021 election and brought about such victories across the country. Let's mobilize more of them, Lord God, with your spirit, registering more voters and educating them to make the right choices. And Lord, we pray for all our viewers tonight. Lord, there are many needs, some of them being expressed in the comments, others held in our minds and hearts. There are needs for guidance for family members. There are needs for health and well-being, protection in the midst of sickness or surgery. Lord God, there are many needs financially, and people who are losing their jobs because they're taking a stand in conscience. We pray tonight. We pray for America in each and every person, and each and every family, and each and every circumstance, Lord, especially those in special need. We pray, Lord God, for thanksgiving for all the blessings given to us in our personal and social lives. And we pray, Lord God, for our churches and our pastors, that they may step up to the plate, open their hearts and minds and mouths in your praise, and work for the greatness of America. We ask all this through Christ Jesus, our Lord, and we pray the prayer that he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, friends, for praying with me tonight and hearing God's word. Stay connected. Social media, Fr. Frank Pavone is my address. I'm on Parler, Getter, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and on Facebook, Father Frank Pavone. Stay connected with Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network, and be assured of the prayers of all of us for you each day. Spread the word about this program. Join us again next time. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.